This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Monday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And that's a wrap, man. Another Marion County Fair in the history books.
Oh, yeah. It came and went, and it was a fun weekend. I think attendance was down, it seemed, a little bit
was
this
it?
Year.
Oh.
I saw periods of time, because I was out there 2 of the 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd see periods of time that were very, very busy. But then I'd see other periods of time where it just kind of dwindled a little bit. And it was a weird problem because it wasn't overly hot.
Yeah.
It was, you know, if you're out for long periods of time, it kind of wears on you. But the shocking part, I'd had a little bit of time on Sunday, took my daughters over and they got to do a few rides and things. And there wasn't really long lines at the rides and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of going, and I don't know, you know, I think... 4th of July was just a couple weeks ago. We have the state fair coming up in a month and a half. And mm-hmm. I just kind of are people guarding their pocketbooks a little more, I guess, is one way to think about it.
Yeah. And I don't know. A lot of times it depends on leadership and how much marketing is done and how much outreach is done. If there's, I don't want to say there's fair fatigue because, I mean, but I don't know. Is that just sort of a cultural shift? Remember fairs? I remember being mm-hmm. in high school. And if you would try, first of all, to get a job at the Oregon State Fair, because it was a quick 2 weeks where you could earn some good money. And then the fair was where we would go. I mean, that was the big thing. And I know we always have a really good booth there. So we see all the traffic coming in, I think, from the Red Gate. Yeah. Right? Is that the Red Gate
green,
there?
We're by the Green Gate.
The Green Gate. Okay.
We're straight up from the Green Gate.
Straight up.
But
by the
by the stage in between where the rides are and a lot of the foods and things like that. So we see the vast majority of people coming and going outside the FFA, the animals and that stuff. You got to kind of wander over to see them.
Yeah. Well, I know Jake broadcast live on Friday. He did 2 hours over there. I know that he talked to the FFA kids, and I saw a lot of really great guests. That GA at Home was one of the big booth sponsors, saw that, and Marion County Fire District. Mm-hmm. I mean, so he talked to a lot of people.
Yeah, no, it was a great show. I was out there with him working behind the scenes, and mm-hmm. great guests, so much, especially those FFA kids. So many great things in store for their futures, and so much growth and everything else. They are just great guests every time. He spoke with Tim English, who also sponsored our booth out there, Green Acres Landscape, GA at Home, about their pools, because for the last year or so, they've been getting involved in pools, some leisure pools and things.
That's always an interesting thought in Oregon, because it gets hot, but mm-hmm. the pool, it's not like Southern California where you can use your pool all year round.
Yeah,
kind of when you have a pool in the Pacific Northwest, it is kind of limited. So are they finding there's a big demand for pools? I think that's great.
They're definitely staying busy with it. It's one of those things that if it's done right, which I think Green Acres Landscape, GA at Home, they're going to do an amazing job. But a little planning, and especially it is usable year round, especially if it's a smaller pool that maybe has some heating elements to it.
Turn
it into kind of a fall, winter, early spring kind of hot tub / enjoyable relaxation kind of
there
pool.
We had a hot tub for years and years and years. And in the summer, we'd just turn it down a little bit. So mm-hmm. that became a small, you could dunk in there when it was, 95 degrees and get cool. Mm-hmm. And then of course you can use it all year round. Well, that's cool. So we did something a little bit different this year. Normally we'd have the prize wheel, but this year we had some sponsors who donated some really cool prizes. And so there was a giveaway this year.
Yeah. We had a little, pretty much fill it out to name, phone number, email, and we'll drop it in and we will pick some prize winners. Elite Buyers Northwest donated a very cool, small, digital safe, that the winner has been, picked for that one. Day Heating donated a $25 Amazon gift card. That winner has been selected. Auto Team Service Center donated to 5 oil changes through AMSOIL Oil. I believe 3 of those have been selected and reached out to. And then KYKN, we donated some Mariners tickets. And I believe there's still a couple more. So I've gotten about 2/3 of the way down the list. So I've got a couple of winners left to reach out to this afternoon.
Cool. Cool. That's nice. I think that's a great way to do it. And then the, they were really some excellent prizes. So it sounds like all in all, it was really good. And of course, the next big one coming up for us is the Polk County Fair in a little less than a month.
Yeah. It's the second weekend of August. We will be at the Polk County Fair. Yeah. Our booth, I believe, will be close to the food out there, as well as some of the animal rings. So it's kind of nice.
Okay. I know it's in past, it's been good. We usually would have a fan out there. So I'm hoping we have a fan out there again this time. Because, second week of August, it's going to be hot.
We've got that fan. It is ready to go. It is sitting in the office waiting to be sent out for the next fair.
Well, we can make it festive. We can put like red, white, and blue streamers on it, because all year long, we're celebrating America 250. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a big deal. Well, today, of course, is the 13th. Happy birthday, Molly. She knows who she is. But also, it is, it's 2 years since, the assassination attempt on President Trump, well, then candidate Trump in Butler, PA, the assassin opening fire on him, of course, losing the life of Corey Comparatore, which was a horrible, who was protecting his family. The shock, a lot of people ended up seeing that live because it was streamed. Literally, the fate of the free world potentially was the twist of a head. Of the president's head, looking at that chart, we've seen that. And then, of course, the iconic fight, 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 seeing the Secret Service agents, some of them questionable, but I can't, but it's been 2 years.
Yeah, that's the craziest part to me. It's like you knew it happened. And when if we were to talk about it today, the conversation would feel like it just occurred like 2 weeks ago, not 2 years ago. Yeah. And to imagine it's been 2 years since that event. It boggles the mind a little bit.
It does. And of course, we remember that the convention, the Republican convention, right? It was the, was a couple of weeks later. And of course, then candidate President Trump walked in with the bandage on his ear. And we all noticed he was more introspective, more somber, I think, coming that close, because it nicked his ear. And then, of course, there's still questions about, the sloping roof and all that kind of stuff. There's still some, a lot of people are still trying to answer questions. The shooter was sort of dispatched very quickly. There's a lot of questions.
Oh, well, but unfortunately, that seems to be the MO with these kinds of things. More questions than answers. And you would think here we are at the 2-year anniversary, we would have a lot more answers. A lot more would be publicly known about how it even was able to occur. And yet here we are just wondering.
Yeah. 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 Well, again, just a slight turn of the head. Basically, you just think about alternate timelines. Had he not done that, what the world would have looked like. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to think about that. Of course, been following everything going on with the Charlie Kirk trial as well, or the pretrial. My understanding is that the judge has said that they have to wait until September 1st for him to make a ruling, which I think is kind of strange. My hunch is that Robinson will probably plead guilty. If you watched even recaps of it, all the evidence is pretty damning. And I hope it shuts up the conspiracy theorists that are out there spewing their garbage, because it's all collapsing in real time. That's all I'm going to say about that. I was glad to see what came out. Some people need to just go away.
Well, it's the people that pushing the conspiracy side of things are making a name for themselves, making big profits. And there it is. And there's the challenge is once reality strikes and the facts are truly out there, they don't have much else to go on except try and come up with a new conspiracy.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I'm all for a good conspiracy theory, but when it's been blown out of the water and completely debunked, it's time to shut up and go home, go do something else, go shopping, go fishing or something.
And here's the thing is you're now just coattailing on the back of the last like 4 or 5 years, where every conspiracy theory that was presented ended up being reality. And we were just being told differently, where now these conspiracy theories are being debunked and they're made up.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, want to mention too, over the weekend, shocking, Senator Lindsey Graham passing away, very surprisingly. There's conspiracy theories flying around about that. It's looking like he died of a heart issue. His father had died very young of a heart issue. It's an aortic disease. What's it called? It's an aortal tear. Same thing that John Ritter died from.
Okay.
And he died at like 57, and Senator Graham was 71. So, you know, there's people trying to, you know, make hay out of that. And everyone, well, I didn't agree, whatever. You know what? I will never forget him in 2018 during the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, because I watched that. I was my work conference was going on and I had to man the fort, so I was alone. I watched the whole thing. I was so furious during that hearing, as being a wife and a mother of a son, seeing the way that this individual, that Brett Kavanaugh, was treated. So when Lindsey Graham came on during the questioning with his absolutely righteous anger, I stood up and clapped. I was the only one in the office, so I could. So I will always remember him and be grateful to him for that. And then, of course, also New Zealand actor Sam Neill dying today or yesterday at 78, of course, best known for Jurassic Park, a really great actor. The first movie I remember him in was Dead Calm with Nicole Kidman. If you have not seen that is a chilling movie. So again, rest in peace to both these individuals. Again, you can tell a lot about a person by how they react when somebody dies, and watching the online response to Senator Lindsey Graham with the tolerant people, the kind and tolerant people.
Well, and of course, I think Mitch McConnell finally came out and made a statement today as well, because the rumors have been flying that he was deceased for like the last month or so, after they had an emergency response to his house. And he is saying that it was a fall that led to some medical issues. And so he's kind of broken the silence. So
it's been a crazy weekend.
Yeah, again, it really has. It's kind of like keeping eyes on the notes from the fairgrounds.
Okay, we're going to take our first break, because a poll has kind of broke loose and made national news regarding the Oregon gubernatorial race. So we're going to come back and talk about that. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
Okay, so I was seeing this all over social media this weekend. A new poll shows Republican gubernatorial candidate leading Oregon's incumbent Democratic governor 48-44%. Obviously, Oregon hasn't elected a Republican governor since the early 80s. This is Cook Political Report. I'm seeing some things out there. That's Republican leaning or blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But it just moved the race from solid Democrat to likely Democrat. I feel like we've been here before, 4 years ago. I see a lot of people. It went National Daily Wire was tweeting it out, which means, of course, then Matt Walsh, Andrew Klavan, Ben Shapiro.
Yeah.
Michael Knowles, all of their accounts had it out there, generating a lot of buzz out there. A lot of people really hopeful and wanting this to happen. I'm really, really ready for it. My concern is that, again, it becomes down to battered Republican syndrome in Oregon. And you had a good comment, too, that I had the same thought.
Yeah. Well, I sit here and go, OK, it's a 48-44 advantage for Christine
within
Drazen.
The margin of error.
So within the margin of error, too, if you want to claim it's Republican leaning, I would expect it to be 80-20 at that point.
Yeah,
this is pretty. It sounds pretty down the middle. I don't know the ins and outs of this poll, but I also sit there and go, these are similar polls that they kind of put out that get you to go, oh, well, Christine's got this in the bag, and not work as hard to collect the votes, get out and vote, and allow that battered Republican to just kind of sit it out a little bit.
And again, it's one poll, and it's one poll in July.
Yeah.
So I'm not throwing a party or, you know, putting on my party hat and blowing things, because then I went out to the betting markets. So I'm out on poly market, and really not a lot has changed. Democrats still sit at 83%, Republicans at 18%. I can buy yes for Republicans at 18 cents over here on poly market. And if I'm yes for the Democrats, it's going to cost me a cool 84 cents.
Yeah, Kelsey's pretty much the same way. I think they're about 85-15 in the betting towards the Democrat incumbent. But yeah, 87 cents buys you your Tina Kotek wager, and I think 15 cents will get you the odds of Tina Kotek losing.
Yeah, so, yeah, and I keep an eye on the betting markets as well. And of course, polls have their place. Polls, depending again, who's backing the polls, who's putting it out, if it's a Republican-leaning organization. What's the sample size? We've talked about this all the time. What are the questions that are being asked? If is it just who you're going to vote for? And again, it is July. The bottom line is if every Republican in Oregon votes and votes for the candidate, the Republican candidate, and then you get the NAVs, disaffected Ds, independents, can it happen? Yeah. I mean, we in 2022, I remember being on the Todd Starnes radio show being like, wow, pinch me. This might happen.
Yep.
This might happen. Feeling, you know, like, And then, of course, election night. And then and I remember I was at the convention center watching the numbers come in on all the ballot measures. And I was a little crabby on Todd's show after that because it didn't go well. It didn't go well.
No. Well, and that's the thing is the way these polls are done now. It is virtually, you know, I saw some comments in one. I don't even know if it was this one. It might have been another one I saw. And I'll tell you about this one I saw at the end of last week.
Okay.
But pretty much whoever's paying for it is paying for the results they want to see. Yeah. It's kind of one mentality. And that came out with this poll I saw, and it was being touted as Oregonians love immigration. And it, you know, and it pretty much, and it was like, what, like 75-80% of polled Oregonians think immigration is a good thing. Republican, Democrats, both sides. And what they didn't break down is, are we talking legal or illegal?
Kind of critical
so
point there.
Virtually the whole comment section, which was like 1.3 thousand people all saying, are we talking illegal? When they actually revealed the question that was asked, they just asked immigration.
So they didn't specify. It's useless.
It's a useless poll.
But it can be used out there to push a narrative. It can be propagandized and pushing a narrative. I saw that too. Uh-huh. And I saw the comments. And it's like nuance, especially in that. It's not even really nuance. It's obvious. You're talking legal or illegal. It makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. That was a TV station poll, wasn't it?
I think so. I think it was. And then I actually saw another one through one of the Portland news organizations, and may have been TV, might have been newspaper. I don't recall. Asking about, because we've had a rash of bars closing in Portland.
Right, area. Right.
And why do you think all these bars are closing? And gave you five options, and not one of them had anything to do with the homeless drug crime problems. It all had to do with, do people just not drink anymore? Are people just not going out anymore? Are they choosing something else? Are they worried about the economy? And I'm kind of going, all those might play in, but you left out really the biggest factor, especially when you're talking about downtown Portland nightlife.
Yeah. Oh, and we see that a lot, especially coming out of local Portland media. It's like, well, you know, you left out that big giant elephant that's sitting over there in the corner, kind of waving, going, hey, you left him out.
That big one that anyone out enjoying the nightlife has to walk by as they defecate on the side of the road. You left that one out of your poll. Yeah. Why did you do that?
So that's why I don't put a lot of stock into these. I do get a lot, you know, I understand people are, they're ready for a change. I mean, Governor Kotek is uniquely unpopular, mm-hmm. and always really has been since the day she was sworn into the office. And a lot of people out there, I've seen from the Republican candidate, Christine Drazen, is doing kind of the standard, going to the fairs, going to town halls and doing these things. I think myself and a lot of other people want to see a little bit more full-throated campaign. Maybe it's because it's summer. Maybe kind of want to kind of channel your inner Spencer Pratt kind of thing, mm-hmm. you know, where you're really going out there and laying it all down and, you know, leave nothing on the table, no holds barred, and kind of go out there and bare knuckle politics, because I think people are kind of tired of the kissing babies and the, you know, judging a barbecue rib contest. So I'm hoping that the strategy moving forward, especially as we get through summer and into fall, that it really, really, really ramps up, because it's got to be aggressive. And there are issues out there that are tailor-made and kind of being handed to the Drazen campaign. The economy is terrible. People are leaving in droves. Businesses are leaving. Like you said, bars are closing. You know, regardless of what local media up there tries to make you think it is, we all know what it is. It's the state of affairs in the big downtowns in Oregon.
Well, and like you said, I can fully understand the idea of get out to the state fair, the fairs, and talk to people, get your name out there. You're in summertime. Realistically, the biggest thing you can do at this point in time is make sure people know your name and people know that you're running against her. Not that you know, you're not going to get anybody to sit there and go, well, I'm going to mark ballot day on my calendar so I can make sure I'm voting for you on that day today. You need to ramp that up and get a little more aggressive. Like you said, I think that's the way to do it. So I understand where you're coming from. But at the same time, everything I'm seeing coming out of the governor's office right now, mm-hmm. she's not running against Christine Drazen in her
mind.
Oh,
no, she's not.
She's running against Donald Trump.
Right. Exactly. And so that's where the opportunity from the Drazen campaign is to bring it back to Oregon, bring it back to it's the economy, stupid.
Well, and
you know, it's that's what it boils down to. And that affects everybody, regardless of what letter you kind of have after your own name.
Well, and I sit here and I look at it and I go, virtually Tina Kotek knows that if you're talking Oregon policies, she's a loser.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but she also recognizes that 50%+ of Oregonians are so anti-Donald Trump simply because the news media will tell them to be anti-Donald Trump, that if she is going to win, she needs to make it about her and Donald Trump.
And for a large portion of the electorate, that's all that it takes. And mm-hmm. so you can, she can basically run a campaign from the basement of Mahonia Hall and just put out there TDS, 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 and a large number. Is it enough to bring her over? Yeah, well, it has in the past brought them all over.
Well, it all depends on how many weeks we're willing to let ballots still arrive and get counted, I guess, is part of the challenge there.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the other thing. Of course, Oregon is the original poster child for that. So, yeah. So I think, you know, kissing babies going to fairs is part of a strategy, but there are so many issues that can be successfully campaigned on. So I want to see a little more aggression.
I would love to see that aggression really ramp up about mid-August through Labor Day weekend. If she's at the state fair, I would love to see her at the state fair aggressively messaging that we need this change in Oregon.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. All right, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Lots more to talk about on the other side.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All right. So this is an ongoing conversation, especially twice a year when we have to set our clocks either forward or back, either gain or you lose an hour. So the House is set to vote this week on legislation to make daylight savings time the new standard time, preventing the twice yearly clock changes. I saw a poll from Idaho Representative Russ Fulcher who was asking this. And a lot of people, it's 89% yes, there's 11% no. And a lot of people in here are like, no, not daylight savings time. Make it standard time. Be like Arizona.
Yeah,
because otherwise, especially for, I know with Idaho, you're on the edge of the Pacific. It's going to be dark a lot. So what?
Yeah, well, and that's where I always come into it with the mentality is, you know, right now, currently we're on standard time.
Right.
And the sun's not
setting. No, we're on daylight savings.
Are we on daylight? No, I don't think.
Yeah.
Are we on daylight savings time?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
It's fall forward, spring back, right?
Spring forward, fall back.
Okay. See, that's the problem. We need to standardize something so we can get it right.
I'm gonna put out there that I think we're on daylight savings time. Yeah, and someone will let me know if
but,
I'm wrong.
But that's the thing. It's like this time of the year, it's daylight till 9:30 or so at night.
Yeah.
Which is great. Granted, it makes getting kids to bed a little, you know, challenging. But then you have the polar opposite where during the winter time, with the way things currently are, I'm going to work in the dark and I'm coming home in the dark.
Yes. So I would like standard time. Mm-hmm. Because if we were on standard time right now, it would be getting dark around 8:39.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's where I'm at. That's how I voted. That's how I would vote. I think basically what this is telling me, and I think a lot of other representatives are out there, we want to, you know, congressmen and women wanting to know. And a lot of people are like, I mean, the yes vote, I mean, just looking at it at face value, yes, make it, just pick one. Pick one and stick to it. But I really want standard time.
Well,
so,
see, I almost go with, you have to take the mentality. So Arizona doesn't change their clocks.
Right.
So let's take Arizona as our beacon of hope right there. Everything west of Arizona needs to be an hour, you know, the Pacific Mountain time. the hour difference. So you go into Arizona, you go into Idaho, you're changing an hour. And then you really pick the line on the other side where everything needs to be an hour later or an hour earlier next door. And then you have the East Coast. So I think you got to literally lay it out where you have the time zones, because otherwise it's going to get really confusing. If you are traveling from Washington or Oregon and you're going all the way to Arizona and you're in the same time, but then if you go a little north, now all of a sudden you're in a different time.
Well, again, Idaho is weird because the north part is in Pacific Standard and the south part is in Mountain Time. Mm-hmm. So I think we've got some work to do on here. And I think, I don't know what's going to happen with this vote. I know in Oregon, Senator Kim Thatcher has posited this and tried to put this out. And I don't remember if she was saying daylight saving or, and I just got a text saying it's daylight saving. There's no S on the end of savings. Got it.
But we all need savings. Come on.
We need savings. Smart to save. The bottom line is just do something. I think we're all tired of it. It's way past when it was relevant and what it was needed for, what it was originally intended for. So I guess I'd be okay either way if it just went away, but I'd really like to stay on standard. So we'll see.
Well, I think standard would probably make the most sense simply because then it does create where we can actually draw lines, you know, the state border. Because I think there's points in the year when Baker County is a different time zone than Multnomah County.
No, it's all Pacific.
Okay. So I'm pretty sure that there's a spot out there where you suddenly change times before you even get into Idaho.
If it goes into Mountain, I would have to look that up. You could very well be right. Because like I said, I know in Idaho, it splits the state, which is dumb.
Yeah.
But that's the way it is. So I think there's a little bit more detail work that we need here. Maybe we need another Blue Ribbon Committee to sit down and actually hash this out and then take a national poll and see what everybody wants to do.
Yeah, let's figure it out. Let's eliminate the time changes. They are way too challenging. And obviously, this whole scenario is just way too confusing because we're all over the place.
I don't know. What time zone am I in? I know I'm in Pacific.
Yeah, where am I? Pacific or specific?
Yeah. All right. So that'll be interesting. So, obviously if you have a real, you want to talk to your congressperson, your representative about that, because it'd be interesting to see what happens. There was a couple of other stuff that I saw this weekend. We'll probably end the show with this. I did want to mention, because we were talking about the World Cup being in Seattle, how long do you think it took before the open air drug markets were back? Remember, it was all cleaned out and everyone's like, gosh, look at Pike Place. It looks so good. Everything's so clean.
Well, my guess would be, let's see, the last game was what, on Thursday or Friday of last week?
I think so. Yeah.
So by Saturday morning.
Yep. Ah, wow. 48 hours. That, full strength. That full long? Strength. All back. Like nothing ever happened.
I figured that the moment, the game ends, the tourists, packed up and left, they just opened the floodgates and let them all right back in.
Well, I'm not super familiar with Seattle. I was watching our friend Brandi Cruz, who does Undivided, the Undivided podcast, and she had some people out there, and it's near the Pike Place. It's kind of near where the touristy area, and it was back full blown. I guess they had tried to put up barricades on the windows, but they painted them black so they look trendy, and then they put artwork up that really is lipstick on a pig, because it's like all the drug stuff was happening in front of the artwork.
Yeah, well, so it's almost funny because in my head my image of the way this works is a little like when you're out at the Kaiser parades, where it's going down River Road and the last float comes by, and right momentarily behind that there's a police line and then the traffic.
Yeah,
I would assume that Seattle was similar to that, where as the tourists are leaving, the police are right there, and then the homeless drug population is right behind them, because they do it in Portland. They clean up.
Yes.
They clean up parts of Portland for Saturday markets. So Friday night, they're hell holes. Saturday, they're wondrous tourist, shopping places. And Sunday, they're back to drug dens. So they do it. It's the way it works. And it's like they're not solving a problem. They're hiding it temporarily.
Yes, I agree. And I think most people are kind of onto it. Mm-hmm. Oh, we see what you're doing. You're moving them over here. It's kind of like when you were dating or whatever and your boyfriend was coming over and you just took all your laundry and you just threw it under the bed.
That's right.
And oh, look how clean my house is. Oh, here, honey, I'm such a clean. Look at me. And then, the second, and it's all back. So,
well, and
yeah, again.
Yeah, I just, to me, it is The biggest way, of course, we talked last week about Chinatown having massive protests against the mayor because they felt racially slighted that they forced all the drugs and the homeless into Chinatown in Seattle.
Yeah. Moving the problem around doesn't address it. I saw a post from the incoming mayor of Salem kind of making all these claims that she's reached out and done a lot of stuff, which is great. But a lot of the stuff she's touting is stuff that's been, it's been around. It's been on the books. And so, and again, not really, none of these politicians ever address the core issues. They never can get quite deep enough into it. Mm-hmm. They don't want to pull back the curtain far enough to actually get to the core of things. So I kind of went, okay, well, there you go. That's nice. Thanks for sharing. But if you're not going to talk about the core issues and what's really driving all of this, not quite sure how your approach is going to make any other difference. So I guess we'll have to wait and see, but I don't have a lot of confidence.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of stuff because I believe, as we talked about over the last few weeks, the city of Salem has been working with ODOT to help clear and you know, deal with the areas around the freeway, which ODOT controls under the bridges and this and that. Mm-hmm. So I believe that agreement has been reached. So now Salem PD are able to assist with ODOT in moving people along. So again, it's like we're not dealing with the core issue, but we're celebrating that Salem now has a little more impact on these large homeless encampments along the freeway.
Yeah, and I just thought it was interesting because that's all happening under current Mayor Hoy. So I'm not, you know, that was an interesting spin on things. So, okay.
Don't tell anybody.
I know. You know, again, that's a good thing because that has been a real problem, a choke point and a real contentious issue there, especially because all of us who remember that basically the small little city that came up under the Market Street overpass. Like I said, that, you know, had chickens in there. Who knows what other farm animals were living in there?
Well, it was like the Hatfields and McCoys.
It took forever to get it cleaned out.
Well, the final straw was the Hatfields and McCoys mentality, where the north side was literally warring with the south side, and they were throwing things, and I believe some gunshots were fired back and forth, and that's what it finally took to actually clear it out. Now they've fenced it in, which, how does that solve, you know, it solves the problem of them being there, but it also takes, you know, we're just looking at fences now. Fences work in that scenario.
What, borders? What? They put a border up?
They put a border under the freeway.
How dare they? How dare they? That's just mean. Oh, that's mean. All right, let's go ahead and take our last break. A couple of items about some weird videos coming out this weekend. And then I want to talk quickly, really, really, when we come back about Meta and those glasses. Mm-hmm. No. All right, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli.
Okay, so we talked last week about the flock cameras and sort of the invasions, the constant invasions in our privacy. There's a number of groups coming up, you know, Deflock Idaho, Deflock Oregon, Deflock, people really not having it. And then, of course, social media. And I know this happens. You know that the phones are listening to you, that they know the algorithms know. I mean, I have a new granddaughter and now baby stuff is coming up. I'm not doing searches on baby stuff on Facebook, but it is. And then Meta, I think it was just recently, it removed a controversial Instagram AI photo feature that would have made AI generation, taking people's content and then making AI content out of it. And everybody was up in arms about it. It was like, not no, but hell no. And so it faced real severe backlash and they took it down. For now, it would be able to tag public profiles and then Muse Image would use that profile's post for reference to generate new images. Oh, it's so convenient.
Well, you know, you brought up the flock camera scenario.
Yeah.
Blaze Media put out a story this morning that five police officers have already been arrested and charged for taking advantage of flock.
What? Exactly. Color what we shocked. I know.
We talked about that, and I never thought it would happen with thousands of people that would have access. For someone to take advantage? I can't believe
take advantage and to use their official capacity to go in there and take advantage of it. What could go wrong? And then, of course, remember Google Glass, those stupid glasses? And they were, you know, they tried to look cool. They had cameras on them and, you know, it was supposed to be like this cool thing. And they kind of flopped. Well, now I've seen ads and things like that. That what's her face? Jenner, one of the Jenner daughters, Kylie, with Meta glasses. So now they look like kind of black horn rim glasses. I don't know why people are thinking that's a sexy look, but okay. That, you know, basically, if you're talking to somebody with these glasses on, I don't know that there's going to be a little red light on there knowing so that you know that you're being recorded. I know in a lot of states, I think Oregon is where at least one person needs to be aware, usually the person recording, that you're being recorded. So are you always on camera? I mean, can we stop with this? It's just, it's kind of out of control. So I think there's some backlash against that as well. Mm-hmm. But for anybody with nefarious intent, these things, I don't know what good they do. There's just too much of it.
Well, I just sit here and I go, yeah, you, like you said, it's those, you know, cameras on glasses things. When it was blatantly obvious, nobody wanted it. Well, now you have ones that virtually the camera is just somewhere in the frame.
Yeah.
You're not seeing it. There's no light up. There's no telling you that you are on film, or I guess not film. It's digital recordings now. But
you're old, Hunter.
Yeah. Exactly. Film. Whoa, that took me way back. but I just sit here and go, yeah, people are wearing these things around. And you think about some of the things that we see, whether it's people nefariously doing things, whether it's someone attention grabbing. And, you know, you see the I put my phone in my back pocket just to see how many people in the grocery store looked at my butt. You know, it's that kind of mentality. It's like they're going to lead to a lot more controversy than good.
Well, and then you think about just the crap that's out there for content. I don't have TikTok. I won't have TikTok. It's just full of slop. So now you're going to have some chick out there, or some dude out there making a smoothie, and we get to see them making their bed, brushing their teeth. I mean, who? Main character syndrome run amok. This is just going to add to it.
Welcome to the world. Everyone's a main character, whether you're, you know, recording every little motion you do or whether you're riding a bike down the middle of the road.
The main characters. The main character. Yeah. And I mean, I've had enough with, you know, certain people that I interact with who record phone calls, which I think when you're recording, especially if you're, it's a friendly phone call, probably want to let the person know. And then if you're going to put it out there on social media, that's really kind of crummy. So all of this recording and then using it to gotcha and getcha people, sometimes you just kind of wish for sweet meteor of death and just take it all out. And let's just start over. Social media, I was thinking about back to the day when the iPhone came in, and that was really sort of the beginning of the end of all this. It was 2007. And here we are, you know, what, 9 years later? And is anything better because of it? I don't know. I don't think so.
It's all just way more public. I mean, we talk about it all the time. You go back and you think about what the things I did as a teenager and a 20-year-old and this and that. And you're kind of going, glad it wasn't all on film. And yet now we have a generation where if it isn't recorded, it didn't happen. Whether it's illegal, immoral, you know, nice, mean, it doesn't matter unless somebody else gets to see it.
Yeah. Sorry. I hope that didn't come through. Sorry. I've got too many tabs open. Too many tabs. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of things being recorded, there were a couple of things that were on camera. And this is another one. This one, we looked at this morning. And this is one. It is from Colleen Noir, who is a really great guy. If you don't follow him, he's a real staunch 2A advocate out there. He's great. Grown man is standing in the woods with an apex predator sizing him up. He's probably, you said he's probably on a GoPro. Because I thought if you have the presence of mind when you're staring down a cougar, an adult cougar, and you have the presence of mind to hit record on your phone. But he had a firearm with him. He had a handgun. And there's been some, you know, I don't know. I don't think there's any controversy. Yes, he shot it. He killed it. Because frankly, if I'm looking at you and me, mountain lion, I'm winning. So there you go.
Yeah. If that mountain lion decided to attack and he did not take a shot, he's not getting out of that situation.
Right. And so one of the things we're always taught, I actually had a earlier in the year, last year, whatever, I almost got bitten by a dog. I was being circled and the whole thing. And I did not have my firearm with me, unfortunately. So, but I did what I was always told, make yourself big, you're loud, you're yelling. And it kind of helped a little bit. I had to get help. But in something with a mountain lion, or you want to make yourself look big. This guy didn't do it. He seemed awfully relaxed. And I don't know whether he had confidence because he had a firearm with him. And then, of course, the comments were in there with all these people, you know, oh, are you in a little cafe in Portland commenting on this while you're drinking your matcha? Because you know better than what somebody who's out there and hiking would do when faced with a full grown mountain lion who's looking at you like you're, you know, a tomahawk steak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that to me is the scenario is there's a ton of comments about this video of everything from he should have just fired a warning shot.
Oh, God.
To, you know, you are in its neighborhood. You just needed to stay out.
That one. Mm-hmm. Really? Is there like, did he cross out to the wrong side? Was there a sign? How do we know? We all share this planet. And then it's like these people think he did something wrong. He should have given up his life because, mountain lion.
I'm sitting here going, you know, after living in Central Oregon for over a decade, in Central Oregon, this is exactly how people would be expected to deal with it. They are literally in communities out there. They will take small dogs and cats. They will get whatever they can get. They will intrude on human areas. But of course, with the crazy wacko mentality, we're all on stolen land and we shouldn't be there anyway.
Whether
you built your house, whether you have a neighborhood, whether you run a business, you shouldn't be there if the animal wants it.
Yeah, well, I reject that. Sorry. Sorry to the people. And again, a lot of this is really blamed. I blame this on Disney. You know, where every animal has got big, especially the mammals. You know, let's make them with these big doe eyes, and then we give them human emotion. We anthropomorphize them so much that actually when you're out there and literally there's that one video from, I think, last week of the woman out walking her dog and the bear was sizing her up, and you could see the behavior. He was like, is something I can do here? And she made herself big and she got away. God bless her.
I saw a video of it was a Ring camera, you know, camera on a house. And the guy was out loading his car with his toddler age child in the driveway. And all of a sudden a black bear started heading towards the child and their family dog came in and scared the black bear away. And I'm sitting there going, there's what really happens. These animals, they have no boundaries.
Right.
You can't sit there and say you can't go where they are because they will go wherever they want.
Well, give the cat a chance to back off when you pull the gun. It's like, the cat doesn't know what a firearm is, you idiot.
Yeah.
He doesn't speak English when you're telling him to back off and go away. He's not going to understand any of that.
And they're really not afraid of much of anything.
No.
The fact that they will cross roads, they will go into neighborhoods, they will go into backyards. A dog barking doesn't frighten them. They're not going to give up. And I sit there and go, here's another example. You know, we could go to Disney and watch Zootopia right now where the bisons look like they are just the most level-headed, kind animals you can find.
They're just big, fluffy cows. Of course, that video went mega viral, of course, in Yellowstone. I guess it's mating season, or it was mating season for this one, so the testosterone was flowing. And this guy, the guy who was recording it, it was far enough back because, again, when you see these videos of these dippy-doo tourists who get out and think they can, like, take a selfie with the big bison.
Let's pet it.
Let's pet it. Let's go, oh, look, there's a baby bear all by himself. Let me pick it up and kiss it. Oh, geez. And the gentleman, though, that ended up getting hurt did not do any of these things. From me watching it, he didn't really do anything wrong except maybe he got too close. But this bison, and you can see it running around, and it's definitely looking for a lady friend.
And maybe
he's looking for a lady friend.
Maybe this grandfather had a little too much male testosterone on his side, so the bison chose to fight him for any female affection.
Yeah, no, don't want to put myself inside the big fluffy cow's brain. But he ended up getting tossed, and it looked pretty terrifying. And apparently, he's doing okay. So that's the one thing: they're not pets; they're wildlife. When you see them out there, stay far enough away. It's not Disney.
They're wild animals for a reason.
Yes, they are. All right, that's it for us, everybody. We're gonna have real estate insights tomorrow, so we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.